The Seven Last Words, written by Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, read by Richard Jameson. The seventh word. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. When Adam had been driven from the Garden of Paradise and the penalty of labor imposed upon him, he went out in quest of the bread he was to earn by the sweat of his brow. In the course of that search, he stumbled upon the limp form of his son Abel, picked him up, carried him upon his shoulders, and laid him on the lap of Eve. And they spoke to him, but Abel did not answer. He had never been so silent before. They lifted his hand, but it fell back, limp. It had never acted that way before. They looked into his eyes, cold, glassy, mysteriously elusive. They had never been so unresponsive before. They wondered, and as they wondered, their wonder grew. And then they remembered. For in what day soever thou shalt eat of the tree, thou shalt die the death. It was the first death in the world. Centuries whirled around into space, and the new Abel, Christ, is put to death by his jealous brethren of the race of Cain. The life that came out from the boundless deep now prepares to return home. His sixth word was a cry of retrospect. I have finished the work. His seventh and last one is a word of prospect. I commend my spirit. The sixth word was manward. The seventh word was Godward. The sixth word was a farewell to earth. The seventh, his entrance into heaven. Just as those great planets only after a long time complete their orbit and return again to their starting point, as if to salute him who sent them on their way, so he who had come from heaven had finished his work and completed his orbit, now goes back to the Father to salute him who sent him out on the great work of the world's redemption. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The prodigal son is returning to his father's house. For is not Christ the prodigal? 33 years ago, he left his father's eternal mansion and went off into the foreign country of this world. Then he began spending himself and being spent, dispensing with an infinite prodigality the divine riches of power and wisdom, and bestowing with a heavenly liberality the divine gifts of pardon and mercy. In this last hour, his whole substance is wasted among sinners, for he is giving the last drop of his precious blood for the redemption of the world. There is nothing to feed upon except the husks of human sneers and the vinegar and gall of bitter human ingratitude. He now prepares to take the road back to his father's house, and when yet some distance away, he sees the face of his heavenly Father. He breaks out into the last and perfect prayer from the pulpit of the cross. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. All the while, Mary is standing at the foot of the cross. In a short time, the new Abel, slain by his brethren, will be taken down from the gibbet of salvation and laid in the lap of the new Eve. It will be the death of death. But when the tragic moment comes, it may seem to the tear-dimmed eyes of Mary that Bethlehem has come back. The thorn-crowned head, which had nowhere to lay itself in death except on the pillow of the cross, may, through Mary's clouded vision, seem the head which she drew to her breast at Bethlehem. Those eyes at whose fading even the sun and moon were darkened were to her the eyes that glanced up from a crib of straw. The helpless feet, riveted with nails, once more seemed to her the baby feet at which were cast gold and frankincense and myrrh. The lips, now parched and crimsoned with blood, seemed the ruddy lips that once at Bethlehem nourished themselves on the Eucharist of her body. The hands that can hold nothing but a wound seem once more the baby hands that were not quite long enough to touch the huge heads of the cattle. The embrace at the foot of the cross seems the embrace at the side of the crib. In that sad hour of death, which always makes one think of birth, Mary may feel that Bethlehem is returning again. No, Mary. Bethlehem has not come back. This is not the crib, but the cross. Not birth, but death. Not the day of companionship with shepherds and kings, but the hour of a common death with thieves. Not Bethlehem, but Calvary. Bethlehem is Jesus as thou, his sinless mother, gave him to man. Calvary is Jesus as sinful man gave him back to thee. Something intervened between thy giving at the manger and thy receiving at the cross. And that which intervened is my sins. Mary, this is not thy hour. It is my hour. My hour of wickedness and sin. If I had not sinned, death would not now hover on its black wings about his crimson body. If I had not been proud, the atoning crown of thorns would never have been woven. If I had been less rebellious in treading the broad way which leads to destruction, the feet would never have been pierced with nails. If I had been more responsive to his shepherding calls from the thorns and thistles, his lips would have never been on fire. If I had been more faithful, his cheeks would never have been blistered with the kiss of Judas. Mary, it is I who stand between his birth and his approaching redemptive death. I warn thee, Mary, think not when thy arms come to clasp him that he is white as he came from the Father. He is red as he came from me. In a few short seconds, thy Son shall have surrendered his soul to his heavenly Father and his body to thy caressing hands. The last few drops of blood are falling from that great chalice of redemption, staining the wood of the cross and crimsoning the rocks soon to be rent in horror, and a single drop of it would be sufficient to redeem 10,000 worlds. Mary, my mother, intercede with thy divine Son for forgiveness of the sin of changing thy Bethlehem into Calvary. Beg him, Mary, in these last remaining seconds, to grant us the grace of never crucifying him again, nor piercing thy own heart with 7 swords. Mary, plead to thy dying Son that as long as I live... Mary? Jesus is dead. Mary?